everybody, and welcome to the Shut Up and Sit Down podcast, a podcast about word games, and the people who love word games. That's right, it's the word game special on this week on the Shut Up and Sit Down podcast, and I am joined by Ava Foxford,
word!
Who has only been able to say the word words.
Words?
Did you say words or words?
Words.
Words. Words. For the past 24 hours.
Words.
This is a bit that will get tiring very quickly. How have you been, Ava?
I have been okay. I have been doing some practice filming that might be working or not. And I've been playing loads of games with words in that we're not going to talk about, actually, because we're going to save them for another time. But words are great. I like saying
words. Are great.
Give me some good ones. Shining.
Ooh.
Spittoon.
Yes.
Funicular.
Mmm.
Crumbs.
What's the one? I don't know how to say it. Maybe you can help me say it. Ebullient? Ebullient?
Ebullient.
Ebullient. I always like that word written, and I've never known
it's
how to say it.
It's very good written down. It's not very good said. What's the worst thing that you found out that you were saying wrong because you'd only seen it written down, and then someone laughed at you?
Epitome? Because I said epitome.
Oh, epitome is a great word, though. Epitome is a great word. One of my exes actually got on the radio with banal instead of banal.
Excellent. These are all good words, and we're going to say lots of them in this podcast. But we're going to talk about four games on this podcast. We're going to talk about Paperback Adventures, a card game, a solo card game that asks the question, what if you combined Slay the Spire and Scrabble? We're going to talk about Fiction, which is like Wordle with a hidden traitor. Is that what it is?
Yes, it's not traitor. You do know who they are, but like they are lying to you. So, yeah.
A deceiver. And then we're going to talk about Letter Jam, which I actually don't know anything about. What's Letter Jam?
I think it's the best cooperative Wordle experience. And I think that it fell on its face a while back because nobody knew what Wordle was then because it hadn't really been made.
It's pre-Wordle-Wordle?
Pre-Wordle-Wordle. Although Wordle had a pre-Wordle-Wordle because it actually came from a quiz show that was pre-Wordle, like
that
decades
was called,
ago.
What,
it was called? Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember.
Never mind.
That's a fact I haven't looked up. Sorry.
And then we're going to talk about Lock, which is actually kind of not a word game at all. It's just a puzzle book that has letters in them. But the letters are kind of abstract and weird. We'll get to that later on.
The thing is, when you get down to it, most games are word games because most games do have words in.
Except the ones that just have pictures. They're called language-independent games.
Yeah. Those are good words as well.
And though. Those are good words, yeah. One thing we didn't actually just mention in that intro is that this podcast is kind of a companion podcast to a video that went up just yesterday, which was called Three Good Word Games. I actually don't know what the title for that video is yet. We're recording this in the past. And so my two games, Paperback Adventures and Lock, they're both in that video, so you can check those out if you want to see the games as well as hear about them. But Ava, let's just jump into the first game. I want to tell you all about Paperback Adventures.
I want to hear about Paperback Adventures, and I don't want to hear you doing the call to action that we should have done in the intro.
So this is a card game that does combine Slay the Spire with Scrabble. What you're going to be doing is you're a hero or villain. I don't know who you are. You're just a thing. And you're going to be trying to go up through three floors of ascending difficulty with baddies in them. You've got to beat the baddies by making their health points, their HPs, go from like a lot to none. And the way you're going to do this is by playing words. You've got a little deck of cards, and each card in your deck is a letter. And the way that you do damage to the enemies, the way that you protect yourself from damage, and the way that you power up your special abilities is by playing words that are combinations of those letters, with each letter giving you a symbol that will do some damage or some defense or some energy. It is a very simple setup. It actually kind of clicks together pretty beautifully. And the things that I like about this game aren't in this kind of overall concept that is very attention-grabbing and punchy, but it's actually kind of in the small stuff. When I say this is a combination of Slay the Spire and Scrabble, it has all of those features of Slay the Spire with the incremental small upgrades that will define your quote-unquote run, with lots of differences between one run and the next, where what items you pick up or what MacGuffins you get, which is this game's version of relics in Slay the Spire, will determine how you approach each individual encounter. I think it's really quite special. I think it's really quite interesting. And I was pleasantly surprised playing this game as a solo game. I don't normally play that many solo games, but playing it as a solo game, it's joyous. But I enjoyed it even more, Ava, playing it as a digital implementation on the Twitch channel. So there is something incredibly delightful. So actually, the first time we played this was me and Matt sat on a train going from out of PAX Unplugged. We were sat on a very, very, very long train. And we played the game essentially with one hand shared between us, where we were just trying to unpick what the game was.
What happened to your other three hands, Todd?
Me and Matt have actually always shared a hand, and Matt gets it on weekends and I get it during the week. But the way that we played it was, yeah, essentially just passing a hand of cards between the two of us and unpicking the game, seeing how it worked, not really playing it necessarily that seriously. But it was delightful because we were just continually chuckling about... Let me tell you about my favorite feature of this game, Ava, is that you have a deck of letters, and in between rounds of the game, or in between baddies, you're going to add new letters to your deck. You might replace letters in your deck. You might change the composition of it slightly. But the way this manifests is that you splay out all of the cards in front of you, and me and Matt were just thinking like, oh, if, you know, we've got like L, F, and Q in front of us, and Matt's pointing at the Q and being like, oh, if we took that Q, we could spell the word quest, and that would be amazing. And his eyes like lighting up at the possibilities of this incredibly chunky word that we've just discovered. And then I'm looking at the L being like, oh no, we should take the L because we can use the O and the S to spell loser. And then we could maybe even spell it twice because we've got multiple copies of the L or something like that. And playing it on Twitch, just delightful having that immediate feedback from the people watching at home being like, play the word, I don't know, avouched, for example. Someone in the audience worked out I could spell that. And those moments of like collaboration when you realize that you can actually absolutely dunk on a boss because you have all the letters that you didn't know that you had at your disposal. I think this game is really quite special, Ava.
Honestly, it does actually sound pretty great. Like the special abilities and stuff, they're not just that you have letters. Are they like tied to an individual letter? Like is a Q always a certain kind of power? Or are they... How does that work? What's that?
Each letter is unique. So you will have a Q that will maybe do one damage and one shield, but later on you might replace it with a Q that does two damage and no shield or something like that. But in addition to that, each letter actually has an ability printed at the bottom of the card, which when you play that card, if that letter is the top letter in your word, it will activate this special ability and do something fancy. So if we played Q and Q was the top letter, that Q might say, if this is your top card, do an extra 6 damage or something like that, right?
Okay, I just raised my hand and you can't see that because we're doing a podcast, but...
Right.
Top, do words have tops?
Yes, first letter. Oh,
first
okay. I've actually neglected to explain some of the most important features of this game. Number one is that when you take out your word, you choose which direction to splay them in. So each letter has symbols on... Just like Innovation. Yeah, exactly. Our new favorite game. Each letter has symbols at the top, but on the left and right side of the card, and you will splay your word left or right, only revealing certain symbols depending on which way you splay the word. That's one thing. A little bit abstract. Hard to explain why it's cool, but it is, I promise. But the second cool thing...
I'm really, really hot for that, Tom.
You love a bit of splaying. The second thing that's really cool, though, is that what I was saying earlier, like with that top card, you'll get its ability, but then you actually trash it from your deck for the duration of that combat. So, you know, you might spell the word failure, and then the F that you use as your top card is now binned, and you won't be able to use that F for the rest of the run. So while you're playing, it's these internal... It's like in Gloomhaven. You have these real concerns about what you exhaust and when you exhaust it, because some letters are way more pivotal than others.
That's really good words.
It's good words.
That's
it's
really,
very
really good words.
Words.
I think that, like, it's interesting, isn't it? That one of like the big satisfying moments of like the classic word board game is Scrabble. And like you are always, always fighting for that moment when you can lay down all of your tiles in one go. And the game knows it's going to give you a shed load of points if you do that. It's not necessarily actually the best way to score. Like high level Scrabble play, you're looking at tripling and doubling triples and stuff like that, and that can be better. But oh, when you lay down all of your letters, and if this is managing to combine that with like the force of that potentially being the knockout blow that you deliver because you just realize that you can spell the word avouched, which I can't decide if I like that word or not.
Is it a good one or not?
It's nice and soft at the beginning, but a bit too sharp at the end with not enough of a space in between.
You know, Spotify for Podcasts, which is kind of what we're using to share our podcast, has a listener poll feature. And maybe I should just put the word avouched in the listener poll box and see what our audience thinks of that. If it's there, you'll know.
Wait. Are we polling whether people like the word avouched or not? Or are we asking for responses to the word avouched?
Both.
Is it just avouched, yes or no?
I'm almost certain that's what the format will take at the bottom. Or that's what I'll make it take, at least. The thing is, though, right, so my word of warning with Paperback Adventures here is that I like the physical game. I like the feeling of the cards in my hand. I like its weird little sleeves. I like the fact that it is a physical thing that I put on the table and it gives me a break from the screens. However, for most people, I would say to exercise caution in splurging on the full thing, because you have to buy a core box and an additional, on top of that, an additional character set for it to function as a game. And there's a digital implementation that I think is really quite good. It's got lots of very nice feedback. It's very tactile. It's very enjoyable to play. So I'd say if people are curious about Paperback Adventures, then absolutely give the digital version a go before maybe taking the plunge on the physical version? Question mark?
I suspect I would like to do that. I kind of want to plunge on the physical version, though.
Well, maybe you could do the other way around and I could give you my physical version and I could just keep playing the digital version. But that's kind of contrary to what I just said the listeners.
No, because you like the physical version.
I do like the physical version.
You do like the physical version.
But I'm also I'm a machine boy. I'm a digital child.
You are a machine boy, and I don't know how to do machines anymore.
No, that's true.
I got old, Tom.
In your old age.
I used to be machines. I used to know what was going on, but now my fingers, they're too
stubby.
Ghostly.
Ah.
So I have been enjoying riding the tail end of the Wordle wave. I got back into Wordle purely because my mum was really into it and I kind of wanted to be able to have a conversation with my mum about Wordle every now and then. That's actually never happened. But she reminded me that Wordle is quite fun. For those who don't know, and I don't know who wouldn't know, but Wordle is a little word game you can play on your phone. You get a puzzle every day and you are trying to work out what the word is from clues that you get. So you give it a word and it tells you which words...
Are you having problems explaining what Wordle is? Because it's a bit abstract and weird, isn't it?
It is a bit abstract and weird. It is a bit abstract and weird. But also, I just keep on saying words instead of letters and letters instead of words.
I was doing that in that Paperback Adventures segment. It's hard.
Weirdly, weirdly hard, isn't it?
Wordly, weirdly.
Wordly, weirdly. It's all a bit wordly, widdly, toddly, woodly. With Wordle, what you do is you put a word in and then it spits out a response that tells you which of those letters within that word are in the right place or are the right letter but in the wrong place. This is enough to give you some information to go on and kind of go to the next line, and you've got a limited number of guesses with which to guess the actual word. It's quite cool because it's like a logic puzzle word game. So most word games, the whole point is having a wide enough vocabulary that you can get those big words or get those chunky combos or lay tiles in the right place so that you've done it cleverly because you remembered a load of two-letter words and fancy things like that. This is something different, and I think that I'm really glad that it is being explored more. And really, as we kind of alluded to in the intro, the main thing here is that I want to talk about Letter Jam, because we did talk about Letter Jam on a podcast about like a million years ago. It wasn't me talking about it, but we talked about Letter Jam. I was just a humble fan and Shut Up and Sit Down at the time. I listened to the team talk about Letter Jam and I was like, I do not understand a word that they just said. And these are the best people at explaining games. I listened to other podcasts. I still didn't understand. I never understood what Letter Jam was. Then one lovely evening at UK Games Expo, someone said, hey, let's play Letter Jam. And I said, I don't know, I got really confused. And we started playing it and it's like, oh, it's Wordle. And it's not. But there is just this weird thing with Letter Jam that is, now that people know what Wordle is, people understand what a logic puzzle word game is.
Right.
And Letter Jam is a game where you're trying to work out a five-letter word for yourself. But it's a cooperative game where you put a letter at a time from your word in front of you so that you can't see it and everyone else can. So everyone else knows what your letter is and you don't. Then you take it in turns to put tokens, big chunky numbered coloured tokens, in front of letters around the table, not your own, because you can never do your own because you don't know what your letter is. But basically what you're saying is, this is the first letter, this is the second letter, this is the third letter, this is the fourth letter. There's a bit of room for like adding in wilds, and there's a load of weird little fiddly rules to add to it. But basically what this ends up doing is giving everyone else at the table a slightly different puzzle.
Right.
Because each of them is missing one letter from this word. Yeah, and then you guess your letter, and if you guess your letter right, if you think you've got your letter right, you write it down, and that'll give you the clues you need to unscramble your face down cards at the end of the game. You'll move on to a new letter, and you're just doing this clue giving and clue receiving throughout the game. And it's really smart, because like, yeah, now that people know what Wordle is, people understand the puzzle here, which is that like, how do you give a word that is helpful to as many people as possible? Because they'd be able to get it if it was all green things and just their letter missing. Because now people know what a good or a bad word is.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that Wordle teaches you. It gives you a real, real strong feeling about which words are good and which ones are bad. Now, if you haven't played Wordle, you won't understand a lot of what I've just said. But you can give it a go, and if you like it, you will probably like Letter Jam. Like, if you like a party game, if you like hanging around and having a chat and like making guesses and helping out your friends and occasionally feeling a bit awful, and then also you get these letters in their face down at the beginning of the game, which is your neighbor makes a word for you, and then you've got it, you shuffle them up and put them face down in front of you, and at the end of the game, on the basis of your notes about what your letters are, you try and rearrange them into the right order. And this is really cute, but also puts people on the spot in a way that can make them feel crap. And I do want to say, word games are a thing that can make people feel awful, because the way people are taught stuff is often really traumatizing, and some people really don't like being wrong in front of other people. So, like, be careful with this game. But if everyone's on board, it is absolutely wonderful when someone who's been confidently boasting for the last half hour about how they've got their word, they've got everything down and they know everything, and then they reveal their cards and they've spelt Cabrutal. It's just great. It's just great. We had a mini game where if you had a word that wasn't obviously a word, you had to define it and explain what it was. We like arranged as a team to decide what was good or bad. It's got very weird rules for winning, in that like the actual text of it's got a scoring mechanism and a load of stuff, but before that it tells you if most people are mostly right at the end, then you've won. Which is how I feel.
That's good.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really good.
Honestly, it tells you throughout the thing that it's all a bit spongy and a soft, and it takes some edges off, and it lets you know that you don't have to take it too seriously. And that is really sweet. And you get this big reveal. And yeah, I think it is surprisingly nice. And I might talk about it more at some point.
But there's a new kid on the block, isn't there?
There's a new kid on the block. Those crazy scientists all play, formerly known as Board Game Tables. They weren't formerly scientists. They weren't now tables, and now they're scientists. Those people who publish games in little boxes and there's not always enough rules, released a game called Fiction, and it is actually Wordle. Literally, 5-letter words that you arrange, and you get information about which ones are true, which ones are in the right place, and so forth. However, to make this into a game that is enjoyable for the person who has now just become essentially your iPhone, or like the servers of the New York Times,
right,
to make the game interesting for them, they are actually not just, it's kind of cringe, right, Tom? The game refers to this person as the librarian.
I like that. I don't think that's cringe. I think that's fun.
Okay. I find it cringe when I see it written down. It's kind of okay when you say it, but written down, it's a bit awkward.
Librarian. Does it make you cringe more in a sort of like, it just is a word that makes you, it just looks uncomfortable on the page?
It looks uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I think it doesn't make you deeply uncomfortable in your soul.
No, the L-I-E-B, Lieb, that's a
librarian.
Librarian, the lovebrarian, that's German. Yeah, so this librarian is allowed to make one lie and only one lie each time. And this suddenly flips all of what you understand about Wordle in a very weird direction. You do get information from the fact that they are lying, because if you can force them to have to do two lies to maintain a previous lie, then you establish that one of those things isn't true. You've got three opportunities to test a lie and say whether it's fact or fiction, so you can point at a single letter and say, are you sure that that wasn't in there? And it's incredibly hard, but also I can see how you would develop tactics and be able to like go through and do lots of stuff. Now, we played it without the timer, and that means that it took too long. I also think that with a timer it would be too stressful, so there's a sweet spot of personality who would need to be ready to deal with the fact that you're trying to do a logic puzzle on a timer, which is a thing that for some reason I cannot do.
This sounds stressful. It does sound very stressful.
Yeah, but because you're trying to like puzzle out what's a lie and what's not, and there's no, it's not like you are bluffing lying. So this is one of those games that feature a sort of bluffing where the person doesn't need to be good at lying, because they're just like placing out tokens.
But they
also don't really have anything to do while the other players are guessing and agreeing on what they're going to do. Like, they can watch them be a bit chaotic and come near to the answer or not, and then use that to learn what they should try and manipulate them into thinking next turn. But it's not the most exciting, so I think you do need that timer in it. It is very specific, but I'll tell you what, Tom, I actually think the best innovation in this game, right, and I think this is actually really, really neat, and I was really worried when I saw the deck of cards, because I was like, oh, there can't be enough words here, because they've all got the deck of cards that give you the words that you can guess on it.
I can see them.
You can see them. You can see them.
Look at the picture. You're looking at the
picture. Yeah, because they are cards. They're all like fake backs of real novels.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's mostly late 19th century literature, I think. You've got these classic books that everyone's heard of, and there's a little deck for each one, and you can either shuffle the whole deck, or you can say, hey, we're going to have a bit of a Moby Dick night, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
No, you don't know what I mean. So you take a thing, and then the person who is doing the librarianing looks at the card, and on the other side, it's just got an excerpt from the novel with a load of five-letter words that are suitable for the game.
That's highlighted. Delightful.
Yeah. So, like, a really small deck of cards has actually got loads and loads of words in it. You get this kind of deceptive thing of, like, yeah, we did play with Moby Dick, and it meant that we really wanted to start with the word whale. just because, well, obviously, he would have picked whale if it was there. And then, you know, the word actually had, like, nothing to do with whaling at all, because most of the words in Moby Dick aren't literally directly about whaling.
I've never read Moby Dick.
No,
so neither. No, well, there we go. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't even have a whale in it. Maybe everyone was just lying. So in the cage match here between fiction and letter jam, who goes home king of words? Or king of wordles, I should ask.
King of wordles. I think if you want to have a good time, letter jam.
I do. I would definitely like to have a good time.
Yeah, no, letter I jam. Think it's a really nice, funky thing. If you want to have like a competitive time, if you want to play a sharp bit of logic under pressure with some people who really like that sort of thing, I think fiction absolutely has its place. And I was quite impressed with the little box. And I might even consider just like stealing the cards to put in other games that need words.
Need free words,
need
spare
free
words.
Words. Like, no,
that's
a
good
idea.
I might
take them and put them in my letter jam box, to be honest. But yeah.
Anyway. Oh my goodness. A Frankenstein's monster of words.
Yeah, that's what I do. I'm a terrible person.
I do think it's interesting what you said earlier, though, about like these games and of Wordle especially being an unusual way of looking at word games, because it is more of a logic puzzle. And I said that I was going to, just before we record this podcast, the last game that I talk about in the word games video is Not Words, which is a mobile game that we talked about on a podcast all the way back in May. And I think that like I talk about this in the video, but it's something that is really compelling, is that it is a word game first and foremost, where having access to a wide vocabulary is useful because it means that you can start off words. You know, you're more likely to be able to jump to a word instantly. But having the logic element makes it so much more accessible because you know how the words kind of fit together, or rather, you know the logic of language. You know how words generally are going to end when faced with a certain selection of letters to go at the cap of the word. And then that's what, you know, the most frustrating wordles are the ones that don't fit within those, what you kind of perceived as logical language rules in a little bit further afield. But I do think that it's a really good and accessible way into word games as a genre, because they don't rely so much on just having like an unbelievably large knowledge of the English language, which is always my problem with crosswords, you know, the ultimate letter game, the ultimate word game, because that's what they do rely on. They just rely on you having an incredible knowledge of words more generally. I think the most interesting part of crosswords is when they intersect with trivia, but even then, ultimately, they rely on you having a very specific way of looking at words that other games don't. Did that make any sense at all?
It does. I think you're actually being a little bit hard on crosswords, though. I do a couple of like mini news crosswords in app on a daily basis, because I think that, especially with like the tiny mini ones where everything's really like meshed together and it's not trying to catch you out quite as much, or if it does, right, it is going to catch you out, it kind of flags up that it's going to, by putting like an exclamation mark or something at the end of the word. It's weird that even like simple crosswords have these weird like habits that you learn as you play more by that particular source of crosswords. But like that word logic of like how words can build up together, like recognizing that if you've got N and G at the end of a line, you're almost certainly going to have an I before it, which means that that gives you a little nudge for looking at the word down, which you can check whether it really is an ing at the end, and you go down there, and no, all of those bits and pieces are a really important part of like the crossword toolbox, but they also just make you feel a bit stupid, and it is frustrating. I'm allowed to Google. The two I do are from American newspapers, so I'm allowed to Google things that I think are cultural references that I just have no chance of understanding. So, like, as soon as it mentions baseball or something related to baseball, I'm just like, nope, I'm just going to Google it.
That's a good rule of thumb.
It's a good rule of thumb, and it's actually one of the nice things about doing an American one when you're English, is that you can do that. So you've often got a jumping off point of like, yeah, it's kind of cheating, Tom, is what I'm saying.
It is. But it's the kind of fun cheating that everyone can get behind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, actually, a fun little tidbit that I learned from Simon Parkin's podcast. It's called My Perfect Console. He gets all these guests on to talk about video games. But the first episode had the guy who made Wordle, Josh Wardle, on for the very first episode. And his fifth game, one of his top five games.
I can't believe the coincidence of that name, you know.
It's crazy, isn't it? Imagine. His fifth favorite game on that list was the New York Times crossword, which was kind of to be expected, I guess, in some capacity. But more explicitly, it was to do it as a cooperative game. I think he plays it with his partner. And I think like that has made me want to revisit crosswords as a thing, playing crosswords cooperatively rather than as a solitary experience. Yeah. Sounds quite joyous.
Yeah, no, like one of my like primary like good memories of a period about like a decade and a half ago now, because I'm really old, was going for lunch in the pub that I was given free tea in because I worked there once. And I would bring in the Guardian G2 crossword, and we would just try and do it on my lunch break. And it would be a bundle of us, whoever was there, whoever was working, whoever else was showing up for the little lunchtime hangout. And it was just nice.
Oh, lovely.
It's just nice. It's just really nice when you just get to like hang out with people and do an activity. Who, like, that's what these things were for. Tom.
Yes.
Tell me about Lock.
Lock is the last game we're going to talk about on this podcast. It's not a board game, not a card game, not a video game. It's a puzzle book. Tiny little A5 black and white puzzle book. We talked about this in the Word Games video. You can go and check it out on the YouTube channel. But essentially what this is it's just a spread of, like, I can't remember how many puzzles, a whole bunch of these little puzzles. We have to fill in a little grid of letters by filling in boxes using a slightly arcane system where you have to, let me give you the most basic rule. If you can see in the grid of letters the word lock, L-O-K without a C, you can fill in L-O-K and one additional box. That's the only way you can fill in stuff at the start, is if you can spell lock. But then as the puzzles go on, it's about using one keyword to fill in things that let you then spell out another keyword to then create another keyword and so on and so forth until you fill out the whole grid. And here's the thing. This is going to be a very, very, very brief mention of lock because I don't want to spoil anything. The thing I will spoil that I think is kind of clever that I will talk about, that's not really a spoiler, it's just a fact of this thing. I think it's really interesting and I've not really seen it done in games generally. Lock doesn't really teach you its rules about what you can do. At the start of the game, it teaches you you can cross off L-O-K to spell lock, and then you can fill in extra stuff. And then it starts showing you puzzles that are like, you need to learn a rule to do this. Learn the rule and then do the puzzle. It's like saying to you, there's only one way you can do this puzzle. It's if you know a specific rule about every single puzzle going forward, and the game trusts you to be able to intuit what the next rule in the chain is.
What?
Does that make sense?
What?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's really weird.
I understand that conceptually, but I'm also like, is that possible?
Yes, because then I think immediately afterwards, you are then faced with puzzles where, like, if the rule that you had thought, if you'd got the rule wrong, if you hadn't been taught it correctly by yourself, then you wouldn't be able to solve the next puzzle with that rule. The only way you can solve the puzzle is if you internalize the rule correctly.
I'm faintly worried that you've just hallucinated a game in a bunch of letters.
It does sound that way, doesn't it? It does sound kind of absurd.
You're like eating alphabet spaghetti and you got a bit overexcited and like suddenly like, look at this. The rules are changing.
Look at this.
That's not how you spell lock.
I'm sorry. It's how this game spells it.
Because it spells all other words correctly.
There aren't any other... Well, the words... This is what's interesting.
There aren't any
other
words.
Well, there's no traditional words. There's words like talak and lolo, which, you know, none of the words are actual words. This is just a game that uses letters as a sort of signifier for a puzzle. Oh. It's not really a word game at all.
It's a letters game. A letter game.
It's a Exactly.
Wait, are all word games letter games? Probably.
All of the word games are deep down... letter games. Yeah. But the thing that I basically just want to give a shout out to Lock. I think it's really good. There's a digital implementation that I only found out about yesterday, right before the review is going out. So I'm glad I caught that. But you can try that on Steam if you want to give it a go. You can download the PDF from the website for a pay what you want basis. Ooh. I'm also, though, just generally intrigued. The designer of these games, Blash Urban Grassar, has also made another game, which he just made me aware of, called ABDEC. And if you look at this on the website, it's like pictures itself as a textbook for the writing system of the ABB creatures. And some of the pages are burned, and it's going really ham on the, I'm not going to teach you any of the rules. And I'm just fascinated to check it out.
Oh, wow. Wow. I want to marry this person.
So that's Lock. That's ABDEC. Both kind of not really word games, but letter games that are more like logic puzzles that are just fascinating. You can check out the video if you want to see more, but I just thought I'd do a little plug almost at the end of this podcast for that to round us out, to bring us home at the end of this slightly odd podcast about words and letters and things. What have we learned on this podcast, Ava?
We've learned that we actually like logic more than we like letters, but also we couldn't do anything without letters. So I'm really glad that we have letters.
You can
take a horse to words, but you can't make him
spell. That's the end of this episode of the podcast about word games. The word game special. You word it here first. Have a good week, everybody. I hope you continue. I'm so sorry, Ava. It was bad, wasn't it? It was almost as bad as Librarian, but not quite.
It was actually very, very good, and I was just trying to undermine you.
That's good. That's the relationship that we've built up over the course of this
podcast.
One of simmering resentment. Goodbye!
Bye!